What in the world is going on with the U.S. economy right now? Some big questions as the U.S. dollar appears to finally be losing its status as the world's reserve currency. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to answer your Q&A questions on the show today, where you get to call in and leave us a voicemail question. You can always do that by going to our website at morrisinvest.com. So we'll get to your questions. But first, I did want to address what's been happening in the broader economy. This is the first really big shift I'm seeing from the U.S. dollar dominance. Now, over the past few weeks, we've got new consumer price index numbers. We got a couple of interesting inflation numbers, which actually are good for U.S. inflation, declining U.S. inflation. So we may have already hit peak U.S. inflation, which means the Fed will likely not have to increase interest rates anymore. And it also shows a running away of the U.S. dollar from investors. Now, what that means is that for years, about 10, 11 years, the U.S. dollar has been a safe haven, right? A safe place for people to go in treasury bonds because the yields were higher and it was a safe place where there was volatility in the stock market. It didn't make sense to own a lot of gold because the prices weren't moving very much. And so people who wanted to have their wealth protected were moving to U.S. treasury bonds. Well, we saw a big reversal of that over the past week and a half. And we will need to wait until mid-December until we get the next round of CPI numbers and the Fed meeting in the middle of December to see exactly if this trend is continuing. It could be a blip, but I doubt it because it seems to be. You're seeing it reflected in gold prices and you're seeing a move and a big shift back towards real estate, which of course has always been my favorite asset class to protect my wealth in. But because of a higher interest rates, increasing interest rates, it made it more difficult for just the average American to get a piece of rental real estate. But now, if we're going to see interest rates declining and a move and a shift away from the U.S. Treasury yields and away from the U.S. dollar as a safe haven, I think we are seeing the decline, maybe the end of a dynasty, the end of an era for the U.S. dollar. You're seeing the rise of China. You're seeing the rise of the Russian ruble. You're seeing the rise of the BRICS nations. So the U.S. dollar as a hegemony could be coming to an end. And this is why you're seeing investors over the past 7 days really moving back towards real estate as a hedge against inflation, as a wealth preservation mechanism, and also precious metals. But to me, real estate is the number one way to preserve your wealth. The cash flow in this higher inflationary environment is not going to be as great as we would like to see in normal, maybe normal years, but you're still going to get the cash flow, but you are also going to get the incredible tax benefits of real estate investing in this environment. Where what else, what other asset class can you buy, say, inside of a self-directed IRA and then have it grow tax-free using leverage from a bank inside of a retirement vehicle? Like, you just can't find that. You can't buy gold that way. You know, you can't put 20% down and get 80% of the gold financed by a bank. It just doesn't happen. So again, real estate really is the number one way to go here. So I'll be watching these CPI numbers very closely. I think we are in a very interesting moment now. This could be an inflection point when you're seeing that U.S. reversal of the dollar and where these investors are going. And I'm seeing it currently reflected. We've had a number of people really interested calling our office here before the end of the year, because at the end of the year, you're getting that tax benefits of real estate investing. So we're seeing quite a bit of activity over the past week and a half now. So I think these numbers are good. You know, it's good for real estate. You know, it's good for people that like to buy tangible assets, not U.S. dollars, which is backed by nothing but debt and air, actually. So if you'd like to book a call with our team, whether it's to set up a self-directed IRA, to start investing and take advantage of those tax benefits at the end of the year, you can go to morrisinvest.com. We'll have a link in the description below. That's also the place that you can go to leave us a voicemail question and ask any question you have about real estate, taxes, etc. So our first question today comes to us from Michael. Michael, take it away.
Hi, Clayton. This is Michael from Minnesota. I'm going to be buying my first rental property through Morris Invest in the next month. My question is regarding an LLC. Is it better to open an LLC before the close or after the close? Reason being, I want to save as much money as possible, and would it be best to have my new rental property in the name of the LLC or in my own name? Thank you and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Michael. So a couple of questions. You know, how are you buying the property? Right? Like if you're just buying it with cash, which we're always encouraging you to use financing, right? If you can use other people's money, great. You're obviously going to use cash for a portion of it for your down payment. And by the way, congratulations, Michael. We're excited to work with you. So thank you for that. Now, if you're using financing, then you're likely going to have to buy. It depends on if it's non-recourse financing or if it's traditional financing. So if it's traditional, you're going to have to buy it in your own name. They're not going to let you buy it in an LLC. And then after you close on the property, our team can help you get it transferred over to an LLC later on, because there's no tax difference at all. So if you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to save some money by having it in an LLC ahead of time, no, you're not going to, you know, there's no difference. You're only doing it for liability purposes. And it just depends on the financing mechanism. So there's no net, there's no reason. You can always get it set up your LLC afterwards. So if you buy a property with traditional financing in your own name, you go to closing, and then afterwards, and again, I'm not a lawyer or a financial advisor, but our team, our friends at Corporate Direct, they're fantastic. And for like a few $100s after you close, Garrett Sutton, the lawyer team, they can transfer it over to an LLC so that you're like long-term set up for protection liability purposes. Now, if you're buying it inside of a self-directed IRA, then it's under the care of the custodian in your self-directed IRA. So as our self-directed IRA team can tell you on the phone, depending on who you're working with on our team, the custodian, it will be in the custodian's name, you know, inside of your self-directed account. So unless you just want to have it in an LLC, it's not really necessary. Again, it really just depends on your comfort level. But as far as money savings, it doesn't really matter, because if you do it now, it's going to be a few $100s, or if you do it later, it's going to be a few $100s. You know, you're going to transfer the deed, do a quick claim deed over and get it. So it's going to be like a little bit more money, but not very much to quit claim that deed over to your own name and vice versa. I've done it many, many times, but remember, you're getting the benefit of using other people's money, the financing piece of this, right? So that's, of course, why you would want to use that. So you're going to save more money in the long run by using financing, and then just a few $100 you'll need to do to transfer it. So a couple of questions I had there, Michael, I can't really answer them because I don't know your exact situation. Again, it just depends on financing. It depends on the self-directed piece of this. Depends on cash. So I don't really know, but I'm sure one of our team members at Morris Invest can absolutely help you answer that question. So please feel free to ask that. And congratulations. All right, our next question comes to us from Cameron.
Hey, Clayton, big fan here. New fan as well. Been listening to you for only a few months, and got the first property that we are going to sort of flip versus rent. That's where it is as a rental, but in that area, we're going to sell the property. My question is, should we take out a loan, or should we use our own money? The house we bought, sight unseen, and all we had to pay on it was the back tax. So we're kind of, our ballpark is no more than $15,000 goes into the house. It's just a quick flip. Doesn't make a lot of elbow grease, but other than that, like a whole lot has to go into the house. It's cosmetic. So use our $10,000 that we have, you know, in our bank account, or use other people's money to pay for this. I know you're great to use other people's money for investing, but when it's this amount, do you suggest just going ahead and saying, hey, here's $15,000, put it to this house that comes out of our bank account, instead of going through a loan process? So, yeah, that's the question. Our money or a loan when it's for that amount? Thank you.
All right, thanks, Cameron. So, again, I can't tell you which way to go on this personally. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, but personally, a $10,000, like if you got that in your bank account and you can use that, it just really comes down to numbers, right? If you're able to get, like we have a funding tab on our website. So if you're interested in going through that process where you got like 0% interest credit cards with Fund and Grow, you'll save $500 using our link to sign up. If you do that, but still going to have like a sign-up fee of like $3,400. But then you'll get like tens of thousands of dollars in financing available at 0% interest that you can use for different projects. And so you know, again, that's other people's money. That's the bank's money. They're giving that through your credit card, the business credit cards that they set up for you. Again, there's going to be a sign-up fee. So you just need to weigh all of these fees, right? You need to weigh the interest that you would have in a typical loan. You need to weigh like a sign-up fee. Okay, I'm not just going to get $10,000. I might get $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 using a fund and grow method, right? Then I could use that for other projects or other investing. Or just come out of pocket yourself. Now I'm just a much bigger fan of using other people's money, using the bank's money. But if the numbers don't make sense, you know, then why would you take out a loan for this small amount? It just doesn't make sense. What are you going to otherwise do with that money? So it just comes down to the numbers. You know, you're going to put this amount in it. You know, you're going to get this amount out of it. You know, you're going to sell it for X. And the carrying costs and holding costs of having this property for a length of time. The other thing is time. You know, it takes a while to get a loan approved, you know, 30 days more if you're going like a traditional money route. Fund and grow, I think it's like a 2 weeks, you know. So the time value of money is also incredibly important. So you already have that cash on hand that you can use. Again, it all comes down to numbers on a spreadsheet, right? I can't speak to your numbers, Cameron. So what is the holding cost of, you know, having to wait to get these loans? How much taxes are you paying in the meantime while you're waiting on the renovations? You won't be able to start maybe the renovations until you get this loan approved. So that's another 30 days. Then you're looking at like, well, okay, then I get the property done by Christmas. Of course, no one's going to sell a property at Christmas time, right? No one wants to move at Christmas time. So the best time to sell a property is usually April or May. So are you, you know, you've got to factor all of those things in. Again, I'm not a flipper. So this is a totally different animal. These are all things you need to measure when you're going into a flip project that you don't have when you're just buying it for a buy and hold real estate. A lot of factors of holding costs. I mean, I know in New Jersey, for instance, where I was a wholesaler, so I would sell a lot of houses to flippers. And those flippers were so concerned about how long they had to get this house done. They hated waiting for the permits. Like a month of a permit delay would cost them thousands of dollars in profits because the state of New Jersey or the city or the county just took their sweet time getting them that permit. They couldn't do anything. The project was totally stopped until they got that permit. And it would cost them thousands of dollars. Also, property taxes in New Jersey were significantly higher. So the longer that you're holding that property, the higher taxes you're paying property taxes as well. So a lot of things to consider there. I think it really just comes down to personal comfort and the speed with which you need to move. So that's my advice on that. Good luck. I'd love to hear how the project goes, Cameron. Give us a call back and let us know ultimately like what you did. That's exciting. Good for you. All right. Our next question comes to us from Don.
Hello. I bought a house through the tax deed sale 5 years ago. Purchased it for like 15 grand. Now I want to start renting it and write off depreciation. How do I do that? Do I go off the purchase price? Do I go off the value at that time, or do I go off the value now? Thanks so much.
Great question. I mean, you're going to look at the tax assessed value of the property. And so whatever the tax assessed value of the property is what you'll be paying in property taxes, right? So if you're looking at, again, this is something your accountant will need to look at, like what improvements have you made on the property? You just bought it for 15. Did you do anything at all to the property? Because if you've made improvements to the property, of course, these are all tax write-offs. If you made repairs and or improvements, so two different categories, right? Repairs slash or improvements. Repairs, of course, are counted in this calendar year. Improvements can be depreciated, right? And so you'll want to talk to your accountant about how you're going to make those depreciation improvement categorizations over the length of time. And if, of course, you know, also, if you've got multiple properties, like I don't know if this is your first property, maybe you have multiple properties, it may be considered worth considering doing a cost segregation analysis with a tax accountant who is certified, an engineer who is certified in cost segregation. Because if you've got multiple properties, then they can bundle them together if they're in a specific area where they can fly out and look at them. You can also do some of this online now. It costs a little bit, but of course, if you've got, again, multiple properties where you can depreciate those, accelerate that depreciation, it may make incredible sense for you to do that almost immediately. So again, a couple of questions I have there, Don, just about what are the improvements look like? What is the tax assessed value currently? Because, you know, are they basing it off of the improvements you've made, or you didn't do any improvements at all? So I still have a lot of questions about that. And again, repairs versus improvements. So simple repairs are counted differently for taxes, and improvements. If you made improvements to the roof, you've made improvements to the overall structure of the property, the foundation, those types of things. That's counted differently, categorized differently on your taxes. So please make sure you've got a great tax accountant. Make sure you're working with a real estate tax accountant that understands real estate, understands depreciation, understands those things, because you can get burned if you don't. If you're working with an accountant that doesn't understand real estate, it's time to hire a new accountant. Really, it is. We have a Lower Your Taxes tab on our website. If you go to morrisinvest.com, click on the Lower Your Taxes tab, and I think you can book a free call with the team at Wealthability. They are amazing. They have different structures for depending on if you're a more advanced, you know, you've got 100 properties, or they've got middle tier and lower tier as well. So just book a call with that team, and they will at least be able to help you on the phone. I think they'll be able to just give you that advice for free, actually. So I would go to our website, go to the Lower Your Taxes tab, and set up a call with them to answer more specifically that question based on the improvements, the amount of money that you spent, and what is the tax assessed value of the property? What are you paying for in your property taxes right now? So a lot of questions I have for you in that regard. And also, have you done some specific improvements under the tax code have you done any? Certainly there's huge advantages right now for some of the new tax code for making improvements on a property based on solar, based on some other environmental improvements as well. So if you've done additional things, you get additional tax credits. So these are all questions I just didn't get from your phone call, Don, but those are things to talk with a certified accountant who understands the current tax code and the changes, specifically as it relates to solar and other improvements because of the environment. So thank you for those questions. If you would like to leave us a voicemail question, come on over to our website, go to morrisinvest.com, click on the little microphone icon at the right-hand side of your screen. We've got tons of great content over there, tons of blog posts and other information for you. And if you're ready to take the plunge and become a real estate investor, we have some incredible brand new construction properties, full service, totally done for you. And if you want to take advantage of that before the end of the year, this is where a lot of our high net worth clients, they give us a call. They're like, we need to buy two properties right now before the end of the year so that they're getting those tax benefits. So if that sounds like you, please book a call with us and we will get you set up and taken care of. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to protect your wealth. We'll see you next time.